out. Oh, baby, what a play.
This is Jeff the Doten with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I are joined by Daniel Jensen, host of Das Kingdom, a podcast that you guys are going to have to check out. It's a German podcast about the Chiefs. He's also the author of a Patrick Mahomes biography. Anyhow, Daniel, thanks so much for joining us to discuss this weekend's big Dolphins-Chiefs game in Frankfurt, Germany.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. Happy to be here.
Well, Daniel, how excited are Germans for this weekend's game?
It's unbelievable. I think you see that in the kind of German kingdom, that there's so many people really being excited. They don't even have a ticket for the stadium. I mean, the Frankfurt Stadium is like quite small. It's mm-hmm. a little more than 40,000 tickets that were sold. And so there are not that many Chiefs fans who could get a ticket. And there are so many more in the city. So Frankfurt will be total NFL football land next weekend with, I believe, 500,000 people being there and just celebrating the sports. And there are so many Germans who are like you see them everywhere right now. So many Germans who are really looking forward to that.
Wow, that's amazing. Daniel, do you feel like it's in the future for a division to be set up in Europe? Is that something that is talked about in Europe and Germany and some of the other countries that have done the host games for the NFL? Can you feel that happening? Is it something that you would be excited about to have a division of the NFL plopped into Europe?
That's quite funny because the commissioner was talking about it like 1.5 years ago at the London Games, or 2 years ago. And I think everybody in Germany was kind of excited but surprised in the first place, because we had our first regular season game last year and we were like, okay, this is like something unbelievable. The atmosphere is not comparable to like an Arrowhead game, mm-hmm. to be honest. It's not that kind of competitive and supportive, because there's so many fans just celebrating. But I mean, if Tom Brady says there, that's like a special atmosphere he never experienced like that before, you can understand how special that was. And I think this year will be even better, because those two teams, it's unbelievable that the NFL is having two of the best teams in an international game, and we will celebrate that a lot. And I think coming back to your question, it's not something we can really understand and believe in right now. It would be really, really awesome. But right now we are happy to have one or two games there and really celebrate the game there.
You know, I'm curious how you and your friends, or maybe your fellow podcast host, how do you guys watch Chiefs games in Germany?
It depends a bit. In Germany, it starts normally the red zone starts at like at 7 p.m. at evening, Sunday evening. And this is like the great games where we can just like watch it on like normal times. But most of the time, the Chiefs games are Sunday night or Monday night games. And for that, it's like in the middle of the night. So mm-hmm. you kind of pre-sleep and try to kind of be awake. And it's always difficult. So coffee and lots of Coke afterwards to kind of survive the day. But that's part of the game, yeah.
Sign of a good good hardcore fan. And how do you, like, there's a couple main like service. Do you watch? I know Game Pass is still there. It's now NFL Plus domestically, but I think it's still Game Pass internationally, and I believe is what channel do you kind of watch on?
Yeah, I think and that's something really great for international NFL viewers. The Game Pass is a lot better here because we have all the games. You have the red zone. Mm-hmm. There are no kind of restricted part. We can watch everything, every individual game, and we can really watch it in the US commentary. So that's like the stuff I watch and I enjoy a lot. Being like an NFL fantasy player, of course, it's more red zone if the Chiefs are not playing. But there's RTL, and they are like really a free TV station, the biggest free TV station we have in Germany. They took it over from ProSieben, which is another big TV station, not as big as RTL. And they are showing it in free TV on their main channel. And that's something special because they are reaching a lot of people for the first time. So that's more like a broadcast where they really explain how it all works, what interception is, what kind of flags are there, and what are the rules. So it's a bit more like on the scratch for newcomers to get in, but they are really trying to do a lot of magazines to get the people in Germany to understand what football is about, what are the stars, what are the interesting stories. And right now, Taylor Swift is helping football in Germany a lot.
I'm sure it is. Well, you know, speaking of special connections, Daniel, you have a special connection to the state of Kansas. So tell our listeners about that. That's really interesting. That, you know, tell us about why you're a Chiefs fan and your special connection to the geography of the state of Kansas.
It's quite interesting because in Germany you like to do like high school exchange with the US, mm-hmm. and being 1 year in a high school there, and it was like totally random. You choose an organization and they choose for you where you stay there, and for me it was Wichita, Kansas. In the end, small high school, Andover Central High School. In 2001, and I arrived there, and that's like a bit of a sad story, 2 days before 9/11. So it was like I really experienced like difficult and really, yeah, really, really hard time for the US. But it was something where I really noticed the patriotism, the people standing by each other, and that was interesting. And for me, it was something really raw and emotional over the year. And the Chiefs were part of kind of arriving in the US, because watching those games every week, and I mean, in Wichita it's all red and gold, so you can kind of come by. It was the Jayhawks and the Chiefs for me in the first couple of months.
Well, wow. Did they know the student exchange? They're setting up a burgeoning Chiefs industry, a guy who'd become a podcaster, a biographer.
It's quite funny because I was in Wichita last year. I kind of flew over to Dallas and we watched the first game of the last season, Cowboys against Buccaneers, to see Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Then we kind of did like a Mahomes road trip, going to his high school, watching a high school game at his place, then going to Lubbock for the Red Raiders game, and then going for the first home game against the Chargers last year. And we stopped by in Wichita, and I went to my old high school, and there was like one or two teachers, and I gave them one of the biographies I wrote about Patrick Mahomes. They have no idea what's standing in there, but it's quite funny to kind of show them the connection I had, like it's like 20 years ago.
That's wow. Really cool.
And Daniel, we, you know, who knows? It's, you know, the world has gotten smaller and smaller. You and I may have bumped into each other in Frankfurt when I had the absolute pleasure and honor of playing at Wiesbaden Stadium when I spent some time in the World League of American Football with the Birmingham Fire. We played against the Frankfurt Galaxy in 1992, and that was such a treat. You know, I spent my first year with the Chiefs in 1991, and they asked me if I wanted to get a little bit more experience. I went to a small college, so I didn't really play against superior competition. So the Chiefs asked me if I would go spend the spring playing in the World League so that I could get more experience. And, you know, up until that point, I had never been, you know, out of the country. And up until I actually, you know, went to play for the Chiefs, I never really flew on an airplane. So that was a real treat for me to get to go to a country and play, a foreign country and play. And I can't say enough good things about the people of Frankfurt. It was such a party, and the people were so kind and so nice. And that goes all the way back to 1992, before the NFL really had a presence. So that was a real treat. But who knows? Maybe somewhere along the line, we bumped into each other at a restaurant or a store in 1992.
I was just like 8 years old at that time, but always can be possible. And I mean, the Chiefs were in Berlin the year before mm-hmm. with like a special game. Right after the Berlin Wall was teared down, so it was quite interesting. And if you hear that story of I think they played the Rams and mm-hmm. they lost the preseason game, but Derek Thomas was there, and it was like a special experience for the Germans. It's quite funny how American football was popular at that time already, and now yeah. like 20 years later, we are at a point where, or 30 years later, to be honest, we are at a point where the sports is as popular as it ever was. And I think that's quite cool to see. And there's like different generation of football fans in Germany. So you have some fans who watched you there and you watched the World League and the NFL Europe later on. And they are like coming back, seeing how their sports is getting popular again. And then you got like the young generation. They only know Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and all of those players. So it's really interesting to see how kind of different players and different viewers are kind of meeting there right now in Frankfurt then, and enjoying yeah. the sports. So there's like a little heritage but American football in Germany as well already.
Well, that's for our listeners here in the States, tell us how someone goes about playing the game of football in Germany. Mm-hmm. You know, where we know there are sports like soccer that are, you know, super prevalent, and I think basketball is pretty popular. But how does one go about, you know, in Germany playing football, American football?
That's quite a good story, because we have like 60 to 70 American football players, so not that many. But the German sports system is a bit different. And in the US, you normally play in high school, and you play maybe in college and maybe at the pro level. But the most people stop playing at the end of high school or at the end of college and never mm-hmm. kind of play a real game of football again. In Germany, it's a bit different. You have clubs, and you can play at each age level. So you're staying there, and they're playing like some amateur games there and still playing. So there are many football players who play for starting with, I don't know, 15, getting to know the sports, maybe even flag football in the beginning, and then playing until they are 40 or 45, just on an amateur level. So you have lots of players who are really into that and play every weekend in summer. And the other part is for my like real job, I'm working for Sport5, which is like a sports marketing agency. And together with the NFL, we kind of established the NFL flag program. So what we are doing right now with them is having, I think right now, more than 250 schools where we are kind of integrating the NFL flag program and trying to get the kids to really understand the game. And that's so amazing to see German kids who are used to football, like the German football, soccer, and other sports, but they never had like an American football in their hands. And if they kind of start throwing the ball, kind of getting to know that, they have so much fun. And the interesting part is the soccer boys who play soccer for, I don't know, 10 years at that point already, they are not better than any girl who is trying to do it the first time, because the ball is so different, the technique mm-hmm. is so different. It's amazing to see how the girls are kind of really beating the boys at that age level. And they're like 10 or 11 or 12 years old, but there's so much fun, and all of them love American football and get into touch with that. So that's something, the NFL flag program, where the NFL is really investing into German youth and getting to grow them a bit more. And I think the LA 2028 Olympics will be like really, really important point for internationally to understand how flag football can make a big impact here. And that's a good entry point, I think.
Wow.
Really cool stuff. Well, Bet Online is your top spot for all your NBA action this season, as that league just kicked off. And with the MLB postseason, the NFL and college football, and the NHL in full swing, Bet Online is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. Get everything NBA at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access for every sport anytime. To get in on the action, don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. We're here with Daniel Jensen, who he's written a biography on Patrick Mahomes. He co-hosts Das Kingdom, a Chiefs podcast in Germany. It's D-A-S, and then spelled like Kingdom. And you just mentioned your day job, as if you didn't have enough going on with a Sport5 marketing agency. They have partnered with the Chiefs. I'm curious, Daniel, how popular are the Chiefs in Germany? Are they the kind of the big brand in Germany? Or are there other teams just as popular?
I think just by being successful and being the most successful team for the last 5 years, the Chiefs kind of increase their fan base the most, but they are also quite active here. To see how they and starting with Lara Krug, the CMO, being here a couple of times already, we have them really producing content. Rob Alberino, I think, is already right now in Germany. He watched the game yesterday, I think, in Frankfurt, and they are kind of really producing a lot of content around the games, but also around the Chiefs being here. They had some watch parties. They did some activities last summer, and they are really trying to kind of win the fans and being present here. And so right now, I believe, especially in the young audience, they are the most popular team here. But of course, it's because of Patrick Mahomes, about Travis Kelce, and also all those players around there. So there's lots of connection. But I know that the TV stations love to put the Chiefs on because they got the most audience. They are the biggest audience.
Joe, last you know, a lot of people thought the Chiefs were going to end up being the first team to play a regular season game in Germany last year. It ended up being Tampa Bay, who also has marketing rights in Germany. And I think they kind of knew it was going to be Brady's last run, and they have marketing rights, and that's why. But the Chiefs were really confident. They even sent – I don't know if you saw this, Joe. They sent Grunny and I think maybe Dante Hall there for like a week. Tim Gunhard, Daniel, I'm sure knows, who good friends of Joe and I. He played next to Joe for a while. But, yeah, he was there for a week getting like B-roll and trying to kind of drum up attention and stuff for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dante Hall is kind of the Germany ambassador for the Chiefs here right now. He's here quite a lot, and they did like a fan party in a bar in Frankfurt, and he was doing interviews and signing jerseys and all of that. So Dante Hall really is kind of known here, and I mean, his career is like kind of around 15 to 20 years ago, and many know him still as X Factor, a human joystick. So I think those like spectacular plays still work in that audience. And he's just like a unbelievable guy, always having fun, always enjoying the time. And Dante Hall, I think, is really, really has his place in Germany. And there are other teams like the Patriots, for example, who also have marketing rights, who have a Sebastian Vollmer, Marcus Kuhn, former players who are played for the franchise and being German. So this kind of disadvantage, Dante Hall is kind of picking up and trying to dissolve there by just being there and being present. And I think having him a week here, also visiting U.S. air bases in Germany, that's all part of the Chiefs program here.
And wow. Joe got to hang out with Dante Hall last weekend when he was inducted to the Chiefs Hall of Fame. Joe was there too, and kind of got to meet him and was telling me some
cool stories. And he did talk about, you know, the Chiefs, the partnerships that he's been involved with in Europe and getting a chance to go. He did bring up, you know, his time in Germany and being one of the ambassadors to Europe for the Chiefs. So he speaks very fondly of that. And, you know, he's very excited about having the opportunity to be a part of that because he was such an electric player, right? Like you said, Daniel, people still remember, you know, 15 plus years ago, but they still remember the human joystick because he brought an exciting element to football that was really different, right? Because special teams can be a little boring, or at least if you're a football fan, you want it to be boring because if something happens in special teams, it usually means it's bad for your team, you know, like a punt gets blocked or something. So, but to have that excitement is pretty cool. And he's a really exciting player. And you're probably looking forward to maybe Travis Kelce will be the reverse. Maybe he'll be in the stands when in July, when Taylor Swift makes her appearance in, I know she's doing, finishing up her European tour in Germany in the summer, right? In July.
Cologne, I think she will be in Munich. So there were a couple of or Gelsenkirchen, which is like a city nobody knows outside of Germany, but she will be there because they have a big soccer stadium there. But of course, I mean, it's Dante Hall who's amazing. And we will have Christian Okoye, the Nigerian Nightmare, over here this weekend. And the Chiefs are doing like lots of stuff. They have like a championship. So they will have their own ship coming to the mine and being there. And that's special. And that's more than any other team is doing right now. And you kind of, you know, and you see that the fans are acknowledging that the Chiefs are really into it and they want to be here. They want to be present and they want to build their the longtime presence here in Germany. And that's something really appreciated.
Well, guys, we'll take a brief pause here. And now we're back with Daniel Jensen, co-host of DOS Kingdom podcast. I encourage you guys to check out one of the most popular Chiefs podcasts. It is a German podcast, which is really cool. Guys, how do you see this game shaping up this weekend? There's so much. I mean, it's the Tyreek Hill revenge game. We're in Frankfurt. I don't know where to start, Joe. Joe, you got to help me out here.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are coming off obviously a very tough loss against the Broncos. Patrick was definitely, you could tell he was sick. I mean, it was, I don't even think you needed to know the injury report. When you just saw his face, you could just tell he wasn't feeling well. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't himself. It was Jeff, we talked about that Broncos game being a trap game because they have so much excitement coming up. They have to play the Dolphins in Germany. They've got a bye week, and then they've got the Eagles, right?
Super Bowl rematch, yeah.
Coming back, Super Bowl rematch on Monday night. So, you know, I don't think they were looking past the Broncos, but, you know, it definitely – the ball didn't bounce their way. And I think they're going to bounce back. I've not lost one ounce of faith in this team. And I see Daniel, for those who are listening on the audio and can't see our video, Daniel shaking his head. It looks like he hasn't lost faith either. I have not. One loss does not make a season. And, you know, the Broncos were due. It's been, 15 years? Or 8 years. I'm sorry. It's been since 2016.
16 games, yeah.
Yeah. So 16 games. And so, you know, that, they were due. But I think the Chiefs come back out strong, get everybody healthy, get over there nice and early. I believe they're heading out on Thursday for the game, yeah. I believe I saw on social media. So they're going to have plenty of time to acclimate, which is good.
It's interesting, Joe. Curious if you have any thoughts on this during the times you played internationally for the Chiefs. But yeah, so the Dolphins are coming up early. And they're going to kind of spend the whole week there. But then the Chiefs are coming up Thursday. They're going to practice Friday. I'm actually on the same schedule. I'm going to be flying out Thursday night and arriving Friday morning. But no one really cares how I'm going to be feeling, what kind of energy I level. That's not very important. But Joe, curious your thoughts. And then Daniel, of course, your overall thoughts on the game after.
Yeah, and I'll put a cap on that and let Daniel give his thoughts, because he's the most important guest today. I think traveling internationally is tough, right? It's hard. You got big players, jamming into planes. They're long flights. So, but the way that I always did it, and Jeff, we've talked about this before. You know, Coach Schottenheimer was a business trip kind of a coach. Uh-huh. He treated our games like business trips. So not that it wouldn't be awesome to spend an entire week in Germany, because I love vacationing in Germany with my family. I was telling Daniel before we started recording some of the awesome cities that I've been in Germany and how much I love being there. I would love that as a tourist, but as a player, you still have to treat it like a business trip. So as a player, I always preferred going in as late as possible to the visiting place. Like when we went to Japan, we played a game in Japan. We played a game in Monterrey, in Mexico. We played the Cowboys. And back then, as Daniel had alluded to, they were always generally preseason games. They weren't mm-hmm. regular season games.
Right.
So it was a little different. Yeah. But I kind of prefer getting in, playing the game with as little time there as possible, just so, you didn't have all of those distractions as a player.
And I mean, I think it's a big difference if you're coming from Miami, from the time zone wise.
Yeah,
it's not that big part of a difference mm-hmm. to Germany, that it is like two more hours in the Midwest. So I think really staying in the time zone is the goal for the Chiefs, to like kind of not lose any energy they have there. And it's quite funny to hear that the Dolphins will kind of do sightseeing on Tuesday in Frankfurt, which feels a bit different. They really want to stay here, to the time zone and everything happening here. I think the weather will be a little different in Germany. We have lots of rain, kind of around 40 degrees, I would say. So it's something different than you have in Miami right now. And I think that's interesting to see what kind of way works. We saw the Jacksonville Jaguars this season. We had two games. They stayed there. And I mm-hmm. think that helped them a lot, because they got lots of time. But being here on Tuesday and then playing on Sunday could kind of still have a jet lag problem for the Dolphins as well. So I think both kind of can work, but it'll be interesting to see how the Chiefs, how fit and how on the point they will be on Sunday.
So when we tune in, Daniel, do we expect to see a lot of red and not a lot of that turquoise aqua Dolphins color? I'm hoping you're going to say yes.
I think there will be the dominant color of really red and yellow. But in the end, awesome. I think you will see lots of colorful teams there. All 32 teams will have fans there, because it's like an experience. And it was not that easy for Chiefs fans to get tickets in the first place, because there were almost 3 million people trying to get tickets. Wow. But and I think that's something really relevant. The league was really looking forward to get more tickets out there for the Chiefs fans during the time, because there were many, many tickets on some illegal platforms. They kind of collected again and put them back on the market. So the Chiefs community in Germany was like really being on that page and trying to get some tickets. And there, I know a lot of Chiefs players getting tickets for the last couple of weeks, and they are like really looking forward because they thought they have no chance to get there. Now they will be there and they will be loud, and I think we have lots of Red Sea there in the stadium, although it won't be as loud as Arrowhead, of course.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's definitely going to be, it sounds like it'll be a lot of red. And just to Daniel's point, that the game sold out, oh geez, I had it, it was there for the 48,000 seat stadium, sold out in 15 minutes when they went for sale. And as Daniel pointed out, more than 1.4 million waiting in the online queue. That gives you a sense of the interest for this game. Daniel, I want your take on this game. How do you see it kind of shaking out? Maybe give us a score prediction and also a player to watch.
I think in the first place, learning from the last two games, the Chargers as well as the Broncos, we saw that we kind of have an issue in the defense with the run game. We're not really able to stop it. So I'm really interested to see how the Dolphins will kind of react to that, because normally we know their vertical passing game. But of course, Devin Achane, who is now on the IR, but Jeff Wilson is back, and they still got Raheem Mostert.
Yeah.
And it will be really interesting to see how they kind of try to exploit that, which worked a lot for the Broncos, because every minute you can get off the clock without Mahomes and the offense being on the field is good for the opponent. So I think that could be one of the games that the Dolphins try to play. And it's really important to see how the offense of the Chiefs will kind of work in the first quarter, in the first two quarters, to see at what kind of point in the game we are. If we kind of have a deficit at halftime, it will be really hard, because I think they will just run the ball all over the place. And if we can be in the lead in the beginning, like at the Chargers game, we never were behind at that game, and then you can't really play that out. And I think that helps the offense, and we can see like a really open game, maybe even a shootout at that game. I can imagine that being like a 33-31 game. But also, if in the first place the Dolphins are in the lead, it could be something like 19-15 or something, where both teams are really trying to kind of get the other one being not on the field. And that's quite interesting, and it really depends. And I hope the offense is kind of getting their things together, because Mahomes, I'm really not scared that he will kind of do his thing and play his game. But for me, it's really interesting to see how the receivers react after that game, because there's so many like really things where we were kind of shocked seeing that, fumbles and drop balls and all of that. And I think, and Joe, you know that probably better than any of us, after such a game, you want to do something to kind of get out of that mood and that feeling and really focusing. And Mahomes doesn't kind of lose two games in a row that often. Yeah. So I believe he will be like really be there. And I hope he's fit and healthy and can show that to the German fans.
Yeah, no, I hope so. I sure hope so, Daniel. I think you're right, and I think Jeff may have just found his new podcast partner as well versed in Chiefs gameplay and lore as Daniel is. My goodness, Daniel, it's so refreshing and exciting to hear you talk so much about the Chiefs and be so knowledgeable. And it's got to be so encouraging to your listeners in Germany and also the listeners that'll be listening to this podcast here in the U.S. How much the Chiefs are appreciated in Europe. So really awesome and refreshing to hear that from you. And you really got this team down and you nailed it. I can't even add anything after that commentary.
Yeah, maybe Joe, I got a question for you, because I think for me, it's really hard from that far away to see what's the role of Matt Nagy in that offense, because we had Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid doing that for a couple of years and really being a team of kind of different guys, Eric Bieniemy being really accountable for the players and making them do their job in the end. And right now we have Matt Nagy and the offense is not kind of clicking as easy as it was in the last couple of years. Is Matt Nagy a factor for that? Because right now I have the feeling he's kind of in the second row and Andy Reid is taking over most of the time, all the comments, all the difficulties. And what we are really, and we had a podcast today, we're discussing what's the role of Matt Nagy and has he anything to do with the problems the offense has right now?
That is a great, Daniel, that is a fantastic question, because Jeff and I
replaced me too, Joe. Do you know how right? Your role replaces? I think we both have to be worried about our job status.
Exactly. Because we've always wondered, right, with Eric Bieniemy's departure, I think it left a lot of fans wondering, you know, what was going to be the void. You know, is Andy Reid really the mastermind behind this offense, right? He calls, I think, the vast majority of the plays, and how much of his fingerprint was on that offense. And, you know, it's starting to tell me when I watched, you know, I watched the Washington Commanders game against Philadelphia, and I'm watching what they did against a really good defense. I'm starting to think to myself, and I know Ron Rivera, the coach of the Commanders, is not an offensive guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe we weren't giving Eric Bieniemy enough credit under the shadow of Andy Reid. And then that leads me now back to your question, right? Comes full circle to say, I think Daniel's onto something here, right? That maybe losing the combination between the magic that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy have created over the last several years being together and watching, you know, Patrick Mahomes grow up and finding a spot for all of the players on the Chiefs offense. Like that seems to have been the magic that Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid have. And that's where we're missing right now. We're missing that secret sauce that the Chiefs have had in the past, where they always seem to find the right play for the right player at the right time. And that's what they're kind of missing right now. And I think you're absolutely right. That could be the lack of, or the missing piece of, Eric Bieniemy.
That is the great question, is whether it's Bieniemy leaving and Nagy having more to do with it, or it's just, you know, they've lost a lot of receivers. They have a really young receiving core from what they had a couple years ago. It's funny, Daniel, I live in Chicago, and I have a lot of friends who are Bears fans, and they did not like Matt Nagy when he was there. So whenever anything bad happens on offense, right, they use that excuse. I tend to think that it's still Andy Reid, who's one of the great coaches of all times. He's an offensive coach. It's his offense, and he would have his hands in it. And if it was something because of Nagy's new role, I think he would fix it. So that's how I think it's just, I think, a young, unproven, and maybe not the best receiving core that is leading to the struggles. Guys, before we end, speaking of receiving cores, I have two questions for you. What's the score going to be, and what is Tyreek Hill's impact? You can either say a stat prediction, or just how he plays. Joe, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Daniel.
Well, I don't want to steal Daniel's thunder, but I'd be remiss if I didn't bring back the comment that he made about how the two different ways this game can go. I thought that was a really great comment, because if the Chiefs jump out early, this could be a shootout. If the Dolphins jump out early, they could try to grind it out and slow the Chiefs down. So I really, to me, that was one of the best things I've heard so far about how this Miami Chiefs game is going to play out. If I had to give one overarching just kind of thought, and not maybe go down the two paths, and just say how I think the game will turn out, I also agree with Daniel that the Chiefs are going to be playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and they're not going to let what happened last week not motivate them. It's going to be a big motivating factor. I think they're going to come out. You know, Coach Spagnuolo is going to want to get after Tua. I think you're going to see a lot of pressure on Tua to keep Tyreek from getting down the field, and like Daniel said, using that vertical press. And also, when you can get after Tua, it also keeps, you know, Tyreek from running across the field too, where he's actually more effective. Mm-hmm. Right? He's more effective using his speed horizontally than he is vertically sometimes.
Even as good as he is vertically, which is something. You're right, Joe.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, I feel like the Chiefs are going to have a lot to prove. And I think if I had to put a score on it, I think it's going to be like 28-21 in favor of the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs will win this game, and they'll get back on track. They'll hold the Dolphins down to three touchdowns, three big scores. But they'll put up some points and get into that, you know, 28-31 range that they're kind of used to living in.
And Daniel, your prediction, and also your Tyreek prediction.
First of all, I think it would be amazing that the Chiefs defense will still like hold the teams under 22. That's the score you mentioned. I think that would be awesome to see how they can kind of slow down an offense like that. And for me, to stop the the Dolphins, Legarius Sneed will need to play a lot better than he played yesterday, because I think he will be the guy covering Tyreek Hill most of the time. Trent McDuffie may be more into Jalen Waddle in the end. But that will be really interesting how Sneed can be able to kind of stop Tyreek Hill without any flex there. So if he can do that, then I believe and I really hope that they will keep the Dolphins under 21 or under 22. So for me, it would be like something good if the defense can hold the Dolphins to 17 points and the offense needs to do at least 27. So 27-17 would be my guess and a perfect game where we can kind of feel good, see some points, but see that this defense is still like right now the star of the team. And that's awesome to see. I'm totally with you, Joe, that the pass rush will be the factor, and seeing Spagnuolo doing some interesting blitzes there and kind of having really a problem. And it will be really interesting to see how the run game works for the Dolphins. But the Chiefs learned that will be a key to win that game. And for me, like kind of Tyreek Hill, he probably will do his one or two touchdowns, but shouldn't something we would care about if our offense is playing. I think that's the major part of that. If our offense is clicking, if that's working, we don't have to be scared of Tyreek Hill right now.
Yeah, I think Tyreek Hill right now is my pick for the MVP of the whole league. I think he's been that good. So I think he's going to get his 100 yards. I think he'll get his touchdown. I think he's going to be very motivated, just like the Chiefs will be, just like Mahomes will be. But I think the Chiefs win in a really good game between two good teams, 31-27. Daniel, great point about Legarius Sneed. He's had an excellent year, but had one of the worst games of his career. Tons of penalties against the Broncos. I mean, everybody struggled. Daniel, before we go here, tell our listeners where they can listen to your podcast and where they can buy your book.
Now, I think it's quite difficult to kind of hear our podcast if you're not speaking any German, because it's like German only. We have one episode with Matt from the Chiefs, who's in English, but the rest is in German. But Das Kingdom on Spotify and any other Apple podcasts, any other platforms. But also just on daskingdom.de, you find all the links to all of our channels. We're doing WhatsApp for a couple of days now, which is like the best place to kind of follow up what's happening all week in Germany. And I just wanted to add one last thing, which is quite interesting, because please, I don't know if any of you know that, but the underground in the stadium, the turf was really, really bad in Munich, and it was really slippery. Tom Brady tried to receive a pass and kind of slipped. And didn't get it. And it's quite interesting to see how the turf will be on the field in Frankfurt, because they are having like a different one. They have like a mixed natural and turf, artificial turf ground. And I'm really interested to see how that works, because still remembering the Super Bowl, that could be like a good point for the Chiefs if Tyreek Hill has problems running his routes and kind of slipping there. But we are not used to that kind of sports. And I think the grass, and we don't have any natural grass normally in those stadiums, will be really interesting to see how the NFL players kind of match on that turf. And that's something to look out for, because that could be like a factor, like in the Super Bowl in the end.
It's a great point. And it's something people have been talking about during the press conference of the NFL. People were definitely asking about that. And in turf, has been such a major issue this year between the injuries, and also just whether it's injuries or it's just more, hopefully, you know, slippage like you mentioned in the Super Bowl. If you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Go Chiefs!